This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication. Hi, this is Johnny Bluestar back with Rod Tyler in discussing the New American Dream. In our last hour, we had touched on the question of healthcare in the United States, what perhaps it could be, which is a universal healthcare that not only is nurturing and helpful to cure people and perfect their health, but also is affordable enough so that the government can provide this kind of security for the fulfillment of this side of the New American Dream, where people are actually protected and taken care of if they need to be. We consider in the New American Dream an inalienable right. The government, which is of the people, should protect the people, and that includes their health. Very simple. But how could this... Well, we're living in an extremely distorted situation now. It's not a... In some aspects of it, it's totally new. I mean, it wasn't there so much in the 19th century as it was in the 20th century and now the 21st century. So let's take an example. We have a pharmaceutical company that wants to deal with arthritis. There's a promising herb that's been taken from the Amazon forest, a natural medicinal herb, that they think is useful. But if they go ahead and use that herb to cure people, they just ain't going to make any money because it's a fairly inexpensive process. And they're not in the health food business or the health store business. So what they're going to do is they're going to say, okay, we're going to synthesize this herb. We're going to make a patentable biochemical synthetic prototype of this new drug that probably will have some resemblance to the effects of the natural product. And so they go ahead and they do spend millions, perhaps, of dollars on the research that's needed to conform to the criteria of the FDA. So they're going to actually spend millions of dollars. Why? Because then they can have an exclusive right over this new drug, through a patent. Okay, so all this money is being spent really not to check on the validity of the curative powers of this medicinal herb, but in order to perfect something that's patentable. So they test it. And after a time, their drug may be approved. So who is it approved by? It's often approved by people who create laws or who enforce the laws through the FDA, by people who have been associated with pharmaceutical products on big pharma before in the private enterprise side of things. Or for one reason or another, they have a vested interest in making this work financially. So there you see there's a relationship between the government and big pharma, which feeds the government. In other words, they feed the legislators with funding their campaigns and through their extensive lobbying. Now, to make it even more effective, they can't just offer these expensive things to people that don't really necessarily work all that well without the cooperation of the medical industry, which they are constantly involved in, even in medical schools, trying to present their case, and medical schools are often designed to give information about the biochemistry and the effects of synthetically created drugs, so that the entire avenue of nutrition is being neglected. Now, nowadays, there is much more of a movement towards better nutrition, and it's more on the cutting edge, but it doesn't seem to have really done much to dent the power of the pharmaceutical industry in creating these drugs.
Oh, no, definitely. And I got to tell you, Chani, it keeps getting worse and worse. And it is an undeniable fact that the pharmaceutical industry has whistled its way onto key FDA advisory panels, which are the ones that determine which drug gets approved, right? And drugs, you know what?
Well, I wanted to say that all of this would not work unless people wanted it. And so therefore, you have to not only bring the pharmaceutical and medical industry into the picture, but you have to bring in a lot of the sort of advertising and promotional aspect into it. In other words, you have to bring media into it in a very, very big way, which is very comparable to the way media is used to deploy commercial advertising for candidates, for offices. So lots of money has to be dumped into, particularly into television advertising, to be able to create that desire. For people who, if they really spent much time investigating it, would find out that most of the stuff they're being fed isn't very good for them. And if they actually even listen to the advertising carefully and not look so much at the colorful pictures of people on swings or people having barbecues, they would find that there are grievous problems with a lot of these so-called medical cures.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I mean, if you think about the number of prescriptions written for Prozac, it's ridiculous. You know, the antidepressants and the anti-anxiety drugs are selling millions and millions of, I would say even billions of dollars. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And quite frankly, you don't need them. And you know, one of the interesting things about drugs not actually working, there was this famous doctor from a university in New York, a psychiatrist, and he said, you know, it's clear to me that these medications don't actually work. And, I mean, and they've done studies where people with mild depression, they take Prozac, right, and half of them are given Prozac, half of them are just given cognitive behavioral therapy, right? And they're comparable. So people not taking drugs get well at the same rate as people taking drugs. So I just got to tell you, it's a big scam. It's a big scam. Because you're prescribed drugs that you don't need and that, quite frankly, don't work at all. I'm not saying that all drugs don't work, right? But some of them don't work, yet they get approved. And then you have this incredible marketing machine, the propaganda machine for pharmaceuticals, convincing people that they need them. You know, you see these great commercials, and as you said, at the end, there's a small warning, right, about the side effects. Some of them are quite awful, but people don't seem to mind. And on the other side, doctors have become drug pushers. That's what they are. You know, there's a big heroin problem in the United States, and it all goes back to prescription drugs. You know, to OxyContin. You know, which is an opiate, and people people get hooked on opiates, and then they can't buy them. They can get them once they're addicted, so then they turn to heroin. And so it's ridiculous. How can the FDA allow pharmaceutical companies to sell such dangerous, pernicious drugs as, you know, the OxyContin and all those opiates, which should be reserved to the most severe and extreme cases of pain, right? There are other alternatives. It's money. It's money. It's all about money. It's just people don't care. It's incredible.
Let's take a look at what's happening here. You've got several industries involved. First of all, you've got the food industry, which is basically poisoning people, depriving them of the nutrients that they need and adding certain toxic substances, whether they're biological or purely chemical, to their food supply. Then you've got the pharmaceutical companies, which are going to help assist the doctors who are basically pharmaceutically oriented, those doctors who are, to go ahead and suppress these symptoms in one way or another, often endangering people's lives because of some of the side effects. And therefore, those companies, when they're developing and designing these products, are aided by government, which approves them without the proper regulation or even the proper philosophy of health and medicine that could really help people. And then all of this is promoted by media, which basically has crowded out the holistic health type of alternatives, and it's mostly featuring doctors and pharmaceutical products and people who are giving testimonials to their success. So it's a kind of a sort of foundational prototype of all the type of corruption that exists in our country, which is various industries various industries working together under the auspices of a government and a media that promotes things to provide things that are not really good for people, but that make, as you said, much, much money.
Oh, no, definitely, definitely, Chani. Well, I think we should keep talking about this when we come back after the break.
Lots of folks back east, they say, is leaving home every day, beating the hot old dusty way to the California line. Across the desert sands they roll, getting out of that old dust bowl. They think they're going to a sugar bowl, but here's what they find. Now the police at the port of entry say, you're number 14,000 for today. Oh, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, folks, you ain't got the do-re-mi. Why, you better go back to beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. California is a garden of Eden, a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi. Want to buy you a home or farm that can't deal nobody harm, or take your vacation by the mountains or sea. Don't swap your old cow for a car, you better stay right where you are. You better take this little tip from me, 'cause I look through the want ads every day, but the headlines on the papers always say, if you ain't got the do-re-mi, boys, you ain't got the do-re-mi. Why, you better go back to beautiful Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Georgia, Tennessee. California is a garden of Eden, a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got the do-re-mi.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, the creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
This is Johnny Bluestar. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welch for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for Great Entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed. This is Johnny Bluestar back with Rod Tyler. We've been discussing the idea of universal health care in the United States, which on the surface seems like a great idea, but it can only work, as we've been pointing out, if a lot of other things were taken into consideration. But let's look at the actual corruption that exists now. And we see that this particular form of corruption involves a relationship, an untoward relationship between government and private companies and media. These private companies have an agenda to acquire assets that are worth a great deal to them because they're protected by a patent in this situation. And government, and most people can't actually participate, or most companies can't participate in selling these products or creating these products that are patentable because it costs so much, not only for the patent situation, but for the testing of these things. And then people in government who are more or less supported by these companies through their campaigns and through lobbying, they go ahead and allow these products to be created, which are promoted by media. And media basically aligns themselves with the medical establishment that largely uses pharmaceuticals in many, many cases, and government. And so therefore, you've got this completely perfect case of government and private industry working together, which we can only call corporate fascism.
That's right, Johnny. This is what I would call the unholy alliance. You know, right. It's an unholy alliance between big government, big business, and corporations that rule the world. You know, I remember a friend that used to say a long time ago that we would reach a point when countries would not be called by their current name. They'd have names of companies. It'd be like Japan would be, this is Toyota. Right? The United States would be General Electric. Well, but if it were the 1950s, right, probably it'd be a different company now. Shell or Pepsi or Coca-Cola. And it was said as a joke, but in reality, this is what we see right now. These guys are pulling all the strings. They are the patrons of a government, and they get the big contracts. And there is an unholy alliance between them. And that's what you describe as corporate fascism. It's all I can say is fascism is alive and well. And I want to go into that later, but this point it's so important, Johnny.
Yeah, I think that the problem is that when you actually are able to convince people of something, particularly something that they believe in, to such a degree that it more or less short circuits their desire to even research it, then you've accomplished a great, great, you just accomplished a great thing for yourself, because now you can kind of do whatever you want. You can tell people, to go right, and really they use the words, say go left and they'll go right, because you've programmed them to think that left means right. This is what George Orwell, as we said before, is called doublethink. The very things that are the worst things in the world for your health, for instance, are being presented on television as these wonderful tidbits for your children, wonderful little treats, but they're filled with sugar and all kinds of chemical additives. And so we actually are living in a world which is largely poisoned with our food substances, but politically it's poisoned too, about everything, about the environment, about the economy, about things related to war and the reasons for war. Everything is really in kind of a chaos where only a few companies and a few people really profit.
It's true, Johnny. It's true. And I think this is directly tied to the fact that there's a fascist, a new fascist wave, and that is emerging, and that is taking over. It's always been there, but I got to tell you that in the last times we've seen a new emergence of this threat of fascism. And I think it's important, Johnny, to go back to its roots. You know, we are taught in school when we were kids, right? And you probably remember that that fascism, it's this type of ruthless one-party dictatorship, right? And
yes.
That's how we see it. That's we think about fascism. When we think about fascism, we think of Nazi Germany, right? This is the most popular example. We think about Mussolini in Italy, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is this. I think that this is a misconception. You know, fascism, it is in reality not merely a political system that once upon a time existed in history. Because we talk about fascism and we go back in history to Nazi Germany, to Mussolini. But no, in reality, fascism, it is a political and economical system, a political and economic system, and that is alive and well, and it's operating in pretty much every developed nation in this world. It's alive and well. It is not. It did not end with the Nazis. It's alive and well, and it's kicking.
The Nazis didn't have anywhere near the capacity to survey people that we do, because they didn't have anywhere near the technology. They had the intention. If they had this technology, they would be using it back then. But they didn't. So we have far exceeded their capacity. Now it's true that a lot of the egregious aspects of this surveillance haven't kicked in yet. Some of the elements of the detention, unlimited detention, have not yet been really released on the masses of people. People's houses, in general, are fairly safe from people coming in and just searching them without a warrant. But that doesn't mean that these things aren't coming. because the grounds, the groundwork for extreme government intrusion has been laid.
Oh, definitely. And this is very important. The legal groundwork. Legislators have been working nonstop to undermine the constitutional rights that we were afforded. And I think that they have succeeded. It's in the laws now. It's in the books now. So they're not going into your houses yet, but it could all change in the blink of an eye, because it's in the law now. It is a violation of the Constitution. It is a violation of our human rights, but it's in the law now. And the NDAA, you know, the Patriot Act, and all those provisions in so many laws that they've written up lately in the last 15 years, I'd say, they have now the authority to do it. And they, believe me, they will do it when the time comes. Right now, it's sufficient that they are able to manipulate people through propaganda, through the media. But there will come a time when probably people will say no more. And that's when they will use those provisions. And that's when they will resort to things like unlimited detention, which is what they're doing in other countries with extreme rendition, right? They have these private prisons in undisclosed locations all throughout the world. And what happens is this has happened throughout history. The things that Rome used to do to its colonies, you know, were brought back to Rome. So it was the demise of the empire. The things that you do outside of your empire, and you say, oh, this is not, we're not going to bring it back, you end up bringing it back. And so if you're doing, conducting things like operations with extreme rendition and keeping people in prison because we know about Guantanamo, but Guantanamo is just the tip of the iceberg. That's nothing. You know, I think Guantanamo, it's an excuse for so many things. But the reality is there are so many, we don't even know how many prisons are out there that we don't even know about, right?
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
But the thing is, oh, they're outside of the country. No, they will be brought. They will be brought in. They will be brought into the country, and they are going to be designed for American citizens and for European citizens and for people from civilized nations. They're going to be put in those private prisons where you have no legal recourse and you have no due process. You have nothing, because the government has taken away all your rights very successfully, I would say.
What's really strange is that everything that you're saying right now, you know, the last few minutes is right there. You don't have to scramble into the corners of the internet to find out about it. It's right there. In the New York Times or the Guardian, whichever you choose, or any television program. Not just C-SPAN. Everybody knows there's surveillance of this kind. Everybody knows that the police are being militarized. Everyone knows that an American, for instance, has been targeted and executed in another country with a drone strike, and that American citizens abroad aren't protected, and the legal foundations for them not being protected here are being set up. So it isn't really all that difficult to assess. So then why are people asleep, Rod? Why aren't they paying attention?
That's a very good question, Johnny. I think we should talk more about this when we come back from the break.
Thank you.
I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Aaron for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had 2 seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. I am very pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com. New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects like book covers, logos, web design elements with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com. For artist illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of this stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was 6. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy. We ditch the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle.
Welcome back. I'm Rod Tyler, and with Johnny Bluestar, this is Threshold Radio, and we were talking about fascism, the new threat of fascism and corporate fascism in America, and we were talking about the fact that it has become a very difficult but necessary task for us informed citizens to do something about this. Johnny was saying before the break that it's so evident that something is wrong. We see the massive surveillance systems that are already in place, that are working. The increase of the militarization of police. We see the emergence of this police state, and we see the signs everywhere. And we not only see the signs, we see actions, very concrete actions that come from this new police state that is forming or that is already in place, as we were talking about the fact that the laws are already in place. So in the blink of an eye, we could see mass incarceration mass incarcerations of people without due process. We could see other mechanisms. We talk about the depopulation. I think we did talk about it before. But this process is already undergoing, and we see a lot of problems. The privatization of the public sector. We would see that the unionization of the entire labor force, because you would not be allowed to form unions and to protect yourself, right? And we see so many threats locally, and we see the rapid decline of the political and economic conditions, especially for the working class. We see at the same time the massive accumulation of wealth and profit of the ruling class.
I think that, Rod, there's a psychological component here that's really important to understand. And that is, it's sort of like the Reagan trickle-down theory of economics. It's the idea that it's really a good idea to have very wealthy people who are the true generators of economic reality in this world to be able to make this enormous amount of money and then provide it for their workers, for people who are employed by their companies. And because of this idea, okay, the government is going to allow these people to make a lot of money. It's going to allow them to exercise a great deal of influence over politics and all these things, so that it will be beneficial for people who really are working people and who really want good jobs and so forth. Basically, it's an idea of disempowering people by telling them they have to get their substance of their lives from a hierarchy above them. The exact opposite of the kind of self-empowerment which is at the basis of the American dream.
Definitely.
And look at what's happened, Rod. People aren't voting in primary elections. They're basically being spoon-fed the information about elections through television and these oftentimes ridiculous debates that are often not informational and basically just people talking about generalities. But anyway, and by political advertising. So they're fed these things, and they're letting television, the government, and lobbyists really do their work for them. They're letting them vote for them, in effect, aren't they?
You know, Johnny, this is all true, and it's happening. And they've given up their rights to decide the future of a nation. But also, I think it should be noted that it also starts with fraudulent elections. I'm gonna explain you why. Not only because people are being manipulated by the media and convinced that they should give up their rights. And that's why you say people don't show up to vote in primaries the way they should. But at the same time, in primary elections, the candidates need to be vetted by the establishment. So, and all the money, unlimited amounts of money, go to those candidates who are approved by the establishment, right? Through the super PACs.
Yeah,
and
right.
This is an idea that basically it's an abomination. You know, it's abominable because it is exactly what the founding fathers were afraid, you know, that type of corruption that is induced by money, you know, when you have patrons. The way that the royal patrons, remember? That's what this country was founded against, that, you know, the royal patrons, because that makes you corrupt. So you're never going to have candidates that are viable if they don't have royal patrons. So the new version of the royal patrons are the corporations, you know, these fascist corporations. But you not only have that, you also have the manipulation of elections, you know, where elections are really a complete sham, whether through money, the way that it's done in the United States, or other means or other mechanisms. In the United States, it's done through money, right? Or the judiciary. Who doesn't remember, you know, the Al Gore election, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got an election that's won because of one person in the Supreme Court who carries the vote that allows people to ignore the results of the election to really investigate them. It ends the elected process, even though it was largely in controversy.
Oh, no. And I can't think of anything more undemocratic than that. It's just there isn't anything more undemocratic. And it was that election was a complete fraud. And I would like to say that I think that's one of the first elections, at least a national election, where you can say that there was clearly something going on there. And you could say, regardless of who you were supporting, right, there were so many problems. And so I'd say that was one of the first in the history of the United States, I would say. Although I'm not sure of that. But in recent history, where you can definitely say that there was an element of fraud, and a fraud that was validated by the courts, and that it's sad. It's a sad statement, but it's part of what fascism is. Fascist nations have elections that are a complete sham. You know, they are either manipulated by smear campaigns, you know, and dirty campaigns against good candidates, you know, with unlimited amounts of money. So if there was ever a chance of a good candidate making it, you know, being viable, he would be destroyed by the propaganda machine and the corporations pouring millions and millions of dollars against that candidate. So his candidacy would not be viable, and or even go as far as assassination, you know, and assassination of candidates. It has happened, you know, and even presidents, JFK, you know, and Bobby Kennedy. So I think it has happened, and we can see that. As you said before the break, you said that all the signs are here, are present, are evident. There's nothing obscure about this. It's very clear, right? It's out there. They're not even worried. That's what makes me worry. The fact that they are not even worried. The fact that they can do it, you know, out in the open. You know, because they hold so much power that no one is in opposition. There is no real opposition to what they're doing.
Well, you know, getting back to something we discussed in our program called the Divine Presence, I believe that this desire for liberty, for freedom, freedom of speech, to be protected from disease and from outside forces that are negative forces from other countries. I think all this together is a sort of natural way that the soul, that the personality or soul of man was created to be. He was meant to have a certain amount of freedom and a certain desire to pursue happiness and prosperity. I think this is all very good, and this is part of the what I would call the new American dream. But what we have here is people whose programming about what they believe has crowded out their individuality and their soul. They're not longing for freedom. They don't even really understand what freedom is anymore. So with that kind of mentality, they don't vote. They don't study anything about their culture, the political life that surrounds them and controls them. And they are doomed for being overtaken by these forces.
Oh, yeah, well, you're 100% right about that, Johnny. You know what? I think we should talk more about this when we come back after the break.
Thank you, Rod.
Put it there, boy. We'll show these fascists what a couple of hillbillies can do.
In this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose. You fascists bound to lose. Woo!
All you fascists bound to lose.
I said,
all you fascists bound to lose.
Yes, sir.
All you fascists bound to lose. You're bound to lose. You fascists bound to lose.
There's
fields where a million fascists died. You're bound to lose. You fascists bound to lose.
Oh, all you fascists bound to lose.
Yes.
All of you fascists bound to lose.
The following is from West Side Warrior, the memoir of Ray Boylan, a Korean War veteran and crime fighter. He was there fighting in the world's coldest battlefield when the Chinese communists invaded.
Desperate squad members ran past our foxhole yelling, "Get the hell out of here! There's too many of them!" Again, we saw the Chinese soldiers charging in with opium-induced mindlessness, oblivious of our bullets. Again, we heard the bugles and whistles. Climbing out of our foxhole, Bob dropped two hand grenades behind us, and I threw one over my shoulder. Bullets whizzing by our heads, Bob and I became bolts of lightning flashing across the mountainside. Like a hideous film, desperate scenes like this played out on the Tokong Pass for 3 days. Sometimes I played in the scene. Sometimes I could only watch and wonder if it were real, or if I'd be suddenly jolted out of my trance by an RKO usher saying, "Hey, did you kids sneak in here?"
To acquire this book, Google westsidewarrior.boylan.kindle. Boylan is spelled B-O-Y-L-A-N. That's West Side Warrior, Boylan, Kindle.
Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra LaFlamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra LaFlamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra LaFlamme at 888-366-8070.
We are back on Threshold Radio. I'm Rod Tyler. I'm with Johnny Bluestar. And we were talking about the new American dream and the emergence of fascism, corporate fascism in America, and many other things. There are so many disturbing trends that we see every day now in Western civilization. And there are things that are very, very disturbing. And those are the signs that fascism is operating in a country. Some of them, and I think Johnny was talking about that before the break, the supremacy of the military. You know, even when we're having so many problems domestically, the military is giving a disproportionate amount of funding. I cannot think of a better example than the United States, where 17% of the budget goes to defense spending. And then there are other things from the budget that they might use it for defense too, but like directly you get 17%, the highest of any nation in the world. And you would think that you would not have any domestic problems that need those resources, those precious dollars to take care of problems in cities around the country by the amount of money that is being spent on wars and on the military. You know, we were talking about the $1 trillion cost of the war in Iraq, $1 trillion in Afghanistan, and the experts are saying that it could go as high as $6 trillion. Think about that. The United States owes $19 trillion, and it's just so much money. How are you going to pay back that money? You know who's going to pay it back? The middle class and the poor. The rich are not going to pay for it. Believe me, they're not going to pay for it. And so in a corporate fascist state, you have the supremacy of the military. It is unchallenged. You remember back in the 60s, you know, there was an anti-war movement in America, you know. They were tired of the war in Vietnam, who had dragged on for years. and they wanted it to stop. When the veterans came back, they weren't certainly treated well, you know, not the way that the veterans now, they're not being treated well, but at least the propaganda machine tries to sell a story that okay, the military is necessary, and there's nothing that you can do to challenge the fact that these wars are necessary. They're important. There's nothing that you can do to challenge that fact. And that is a very clear sign of the corporate fascism that is operating in America. Go ahead, Johnny. Tell me what you think about this.
Well, I think about Saddam Hussein. I think often what the sort of trick is to pick something that's really wrong. I mean, what's really wrong is Saddam Hussein was really wrong. He was a brutal, horrible dictator, and he deserved to be overthrown. But then we go ahead, but the powers that be don't appear to have been overthrowing him for that reason. They wanted a certain amount of control over resources, as far as I can see, because what they did is that they basically toppled him into a governmental situation which was obviously divisive and would produce something like a civil war. And that's what happened. And so you had, not only did you wreak havoc by that war on the infrastructure of the Iraqis, where many people and children and women were harmed because of just, say, the absence of good drinking water, because the infrastructure was destroyed so much. And so then you go ahead and start rebuilding the country during a civil war. Well, what is the point here? The point had nothing really to do with really providing liberty and freedom for the Iraqis, but for us to gain a foothold, and some companies to gain a foothold in exploiting the so-called occupation.
Oh yeah,
so that's very sad to appeal to honest, patriotic people who go out there and will fight for their country when they're really fighting for this corporate alliance between government and certain individuals who have a great deal of capital and a financial stake in these resources.
Definitely, definitely, Johnny. And I think that one of the main reasons that these wars are important for corporate fascism is that when you are in a perpetual state of war, everything else is justified. And it establishes an unchallenged state of supremacy for the military. And there are just so many things that are good for them when you live in a perpetual state of war. And I think we're in this for many decades, sadly.
Yes, and you know, unfortunately, all the things that we're discussing are a lot faster than this conversation. But I think that we've at least touched on some of it. So I would like to thank you for participating with me, Rod. Thank you for coming to Threshold Radio, and we hope that you've enjoyed this rather exciting conversation about the American dream and where it should be going. And tell everybody in our audience to come back next week for another episode of Threshold Radio. Oh, yes, and thanks to Woody Guthrie for reminding us what America is all about.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, and I saw above me that endless skyway, I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.